The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Our motto text for 2017. It is often the prayer of the Christian that the Lord would be pleased to bless them as individuals, as it was with Jabez. Jabez, who called on God this saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thou might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Grant the Lord, then, we read, and God granted him that which he requested. So Jabez wanted the blessing of God upon him. And we read, and God granted him that which he requested. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 10. All of this demonstrates how willing the Lord is to bless his people. And then there are those who are determined to know God's blessing. Like Jacob, for example, who cried to the Lord, saying, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I will not." Jacob was saying, "I'm holding on to thee, Lord, and I'm not letting go until thou dost bless me." And then we read, and he blessed him there. Genesis 32, verses 26 and 29. There is an example of Jacob's determination to bless upon him. And that determination was rewarded. That prayer was answered. On the other hand, we may be just like Caleb's daughter, Aksa. Because Aksa came to Caleb, her father, and simply said, "Give me a blessing." Joshua 15 and verse 19. She simply asked her father, "Give me a blessing." And just as Caleb freely gave his daughter what she asked for, so the Lord will freely give to us that blessing that we are asking for. He will be more than willing to grant the petitions that we ask of him. And let us not forget that all blessing comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Is not what we want? Spiritual blessings. We want to be blessed in our souls. And blessings from the Lord are described here in our text. In Acts 3, verse 19, "The times of refreshing," there's the blessing, "the times of refreshing shall come." Just as Jabez, just as Jacob, just as Aksa asked for a blessing, they all received the blessing they asked for. And here the Lord promises to bless us. "The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So how may we know these times of refreshing, these times of blessing? that Peter here spoke about. First of all, he spoke about the preparation for blessing. The preparation for blessing. It is true that the apostle here was addressing sinners, those who had played their part in the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to them, he said, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." When? The times of refreshing shall come. And so there's the preparation in the first part of the verse. The preparation is that sin is repented of and sin is blotted out. And when sin is repented of and sin is blotted out, blessing comes. That's what Peter's teaching. And here regarding the preparation for blessing, there is the revealing of sin. Peter was very clear about that which the people whom he was addressing were guilty of. They were guilty, in verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, which God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And so here's Peter, and he reveals to the people he's addressing what their sin was. He brings it right before them. And just as Peter revealed to the people their sin, because he went on then to say, when your sin is blotted out, the times of refreshing shall come. And while these words may be addressed to sinners, sure, we're all sinners. And we have not sinned. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and we make God a liar. We have all sinned. And just as Peter revealed the sin of the people unto them, so we need the Lord to reveal our sin unto us. Psalm 44, verse 21. "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." Why do we need the Lord to reveal our sin unto us? Because we don't know our own hearts. We can go along day by day and believe everything is well. But is it well? Have we indeed examined our own hearts? We need the Lord to reveal any sin we have in our heart. We need the Lord to reveal it unto us. Just as the psalmist said, Psalm 19, verse 13, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." Presumptuous sins. That is committing sin and we don't even give it a thought. What I'm doing, does it grieve the Lord? What I'm doing, is it sin in his sight? Presumptuous sins. We don't take time to stop and examine our hearts. But here's David, he says, "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression." There was the reason why David wanted to be rid of his presumptuous sins. He didn't want them to have dominion over him. He didn't want those sins to master him, because he wanted to be upright. He wanted to be righteous in his living before the Lord. And since we don't know our own heart, would we not do failed to ask the Lord, Lord, reveal to me my faults. Lord, reveal to me my failings. Reveal to me my foolish ways. And the Lord says, the times of refreshing shall come. We read in Psalm 139. And here's the prayer of David. In Psalm 139, and there at the end of the psalm, we read these words of David, his prayer. Search me, O God. Why? Why did David ask the Lord to search him? Because he wanted to make sure that his heart was pure. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. That ought to be, as it were, the watchword of us all. That we come before the Lord and say, Lord, reveal unto me my sin. Because that's the preparation for blessing. As well as the revealing of their sin, Peter went on to speak to them about repenting of their sin. That was the next step. Sin was revealed. Peter then called upon them to repent and be converted. It's the same with us. We're those of us who are believers. When sin is revealed to us, well, what do? We are to repent of that sin. We are to take that sin to the Lord and seek a cleansing afresh in the precious blood. If we confess our sin, and John's speaking to believers, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now perhaps these words, repent ye therefore and be converted. Perhaps we think that is an expression that's associated solely with the unconverted. But not so. You recall the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter, one of his disciples. And there in 22 and verse 31, the Lord said to Peter, his disciple, when thou art converted. Does that mean Peter wasn't saved? No, it doesn't. Because the word converted means when thou hast turned. Because we know how Peter had gone astray. And this was the Lord warning Peter, telling him about it. Telling Peter, I have prayed for thee, because Satan has desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, when thou hast turned thyself back, when you've turned away from your sinful ways, then I have a work for you to do. And so we can apply these words to our own hearts. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Turn away from those sins that have been revealed to us in our hearts. Over in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2, we read there in verse 5, the word of the Lord has come to the churches in Asia. Churches made up of believers. And we read in verse 5 regarding the church at Ephesus. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. So the Lord's addressing believers. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So here's the Lord himself addressing believers, and he's saying to believers, you need to repent. You have Revelation 3, verse 3. Revelation 3 and verse 19. So the believers are called upon to repent. And when, through the ministry of the word, whether today, or whether in days gone by, or in days in the future, we're spared. If the Lord speaks to us through the word and reveals some sin in our hearts, let us repent of that sin and have that sin put under the blood, because Peter said to his congregation, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. In other words, repent of your sin. Have your sin blotted out, and you may expect times of refreshing. Times of blessing. We might make it our prayer, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Cleanse me from every stain. Help me thine image gain. In love and mercy reign o'er all within. We want the Lord to be in control of our all. As well as the revealing of their sin, the repenting of their sin, there was the removal of their sin. Peter informs his congregation that repenting of their sin would mean their sin would be blotted. As David prayed there in Psalm 51, David prays the very same thing. It was his desire that his sins would be blotted out, for we read in Psalm 51 and verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And again in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. So here's a man of God. Here is a man of God, a friend of God. And David is calling upon the Lord, Lord, blot out my sins. The expression to blot out is taken from the practice of creditors charging their debtors. Then, when the debt is paid, canceling it are wholly removing it from the record. So if we owe a shopkeeper money and it's written down against our name, and we go in someday and we pay the debt in full, he marks it out. There's no longer any debt against our name. It's blotted out. That's where that phrase comes from and what it refers to. Our sins have been blotted out, removed from the record. And where does the Lord put them? Behind his back. Into the sea of his forgetfulness. What though the accuser roar, of evils I have done, I know them all and thousands more, but Jehovah findeth none. When they're blotted out, they'll never be found again, because they're under the blood. Isaiah 43 verse 25 says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake. I do it for my sake. I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins, will not remember them. And when sin is blotted out, Peter declares, times of refreshing shall come. So there we have the preparation. Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. I will not, cannot rest till pure within. All human skill is vain, but thou canst cleanse each stain till not a spot remain made wholly clean. That's the preparation. Then there is the promise of blessing. Here in Peter's words is a great incentive to be cleansed from all our sins, to live a holy life. For Peter says, the times of refreshing shall come. Regarding this promise, it's a declared promise. Peter makes clear what will follow when sin is dealt with. He speaks about what shall come. Times of refreshing shall come. So the fruit of repentance is blessing. Indeed, the literal translation of these words is as follows. That your sins may be blotted out, so that may come times of refreshing. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come. That's what Peter declared that day. It has been said, the Lord is more willing to give, he's more willing to bless than we are to ask. And I believe that. And these words demonstrate to us the Lord's willingness to bless. Have your sins blotted out, so come times of refreshing. In other words, confess your sin and I will bless you. And I'll bless you with times of refreshing. Don't we all need times of refreshing? We need to be refreshed in our spiritual life. I don't think there's one of us here would deny that. We all want to be refreshed. It's like as ministers going to the minister's week of prayer. It's a time of refreshing. going there and meeting up with the brethren and having the word preached to us and having times of prayer, spending hours in prayer, refreshing. And we come home from those weeks of prayer refreshed in our souls and in our spirits. There's not a Christian amongst us today who doesn't need to be refreshed. And here we have, regarding this promise, a great invitation. The Lord is inviting us to receive from His hand His blessing. But confess our sin and have them blotted out. And very often, going back to our minister's weeks of prayer, it is a time of self-examination. We spend each morning from 9 o'clock till 1 o'clock. The word is preached and we get down to prayer. And often when the word is preached, we're examining our own hearts. Because ministers need to be ministered to as well. And maybe some particular matter is highlighted through some brother's message. And it's a time of self-examination. And we can then, matters that have been highlighted in a message preached, we can bring those matters to the Lord. And by the end of the week, and certainly on our way home, we've been refreshed. We've often said, how often have you gone or come to the prayer meeting and really, you didn't really feel like going, but you went anyway? You were maybe downcast or things hadn't gone too well that day. And you go to the prayer meeting and you hear others pray and you pray yourself. And when the prayer meeting's over, you say, boy, I'm glad I came. Because you've been refreshed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So often we feel like fainting. We need to be refreshed. Well, the great invitation, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Look at Psalm 24. Just what we're saying, what the word of the Lord is teaching, we find it there in Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing. From the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. So it's plain. That's a great incentive. Our great invitation is a great incentive. We may ask ourselves, how much do I want to experience this time of spiritual refreshing? The incentive has been given. The Lord has promised times of refreshing. And we know the Lord will not break His promise. Turn, please, to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, you can look at this passage of Scripture when you get home. And under 9, underline the number of times you come across the word blessing or blessed. Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. In other words, the Lord says, I will bless you with more than you can cope with. The blessing will overtake you. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. And you can go right down to the end of verse 8 and underline the number of times you come across the word blessed or blessing. And there it is. But the Lord begins by saying, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments that I command thee, I will bless thee. I will bless thee if thou art willing to obey me. It's a great incentive, isn't it? Not only have here a declared promise, we have a delightful promise. A delightful promise indeed. Even the word refreshing speaks to us of something that's pleasant and delightful. We're refreshed. For example, the Apostle Paul spoke about being refreshed through fellowship. In Romans, in chapter 15, and verse 30, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Just what I was saying there about the minister's week of prayer. It's good to be able to spend time with your colleagues. We enjoy a time of fellowship. Not only in prayer and in the preaching of the word, but if we don't have any committees to attend in the evening, it's good for us to sit in the lobby of the motel and just sit and talk. It's a great time of fellowship. And we are refreshed. And here's Paul, and he speaks about being refreshed by the saints. Likewise, Paul spoke about Titus being refreshed. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13, Paul said, therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For the likes of Titus and the likes of Paul and others who labored with Paul, they went through many lonely hours. They often labored and served the Lord alone. And just to be able to meet with God's people like Paul and like Titus, they were refreshed. We can ask ourselves, are we refreshed when we come together to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and get together with God's people? Are we refreshed by the fellowship of the saints. If not, then we need to see the fulfillment of our text when the times of refreshing shall come. Then shall come the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There is the being refreshed by the saints, there's being refreshed by the scriptures. It is easy, you know, to get into a place where the word no longer refreshes us. Now, that's not the fault of the word. That's not the fault of the word. In Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 25 about how the word refreshes the soul. Proverbs 25, and there we read in verse 11. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Even when the word reproves us, that ought to refresh us. Because the next verse says, verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. The word, in other words, refreshes the soul. Now, if we ever find ourselves in a place where we're not really looking forward to hearing the word preached, or we don't really get anything from the reading of the word and the study of it, what is it that's needed then? We need the Lord to come and refresh our souls. We need the Lord to come and be pleased to refresh us, so that once again the word will be that living word to our souls. In Philemon, we are told that while we enjoy fellowship with God's people, the blessing of that fellowship, being refreshed through that fellowship, comes from the Lord. For we read in Philemon, verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul speaks very affectionately to Philemon, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. But then you go down in the chapter to verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of the Lord, or joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. See, that's where the refreshing comes from. Comes from the Lord, through the fellowship of the people of God. and the Saviour. Is there not something wrong if we are not refreshed in our souls when we consider and meditate upon the Saviour, the Scriptures, and the saints? Do we not lament sometimes the hardness of our hearts? We think about the Saviour and we remain unmoved. Some of you know that there was a dear brother and his family and all who used to come here and worship with us. And I think nearly every time, without exception, when we had the Lord's table. And this dear brother prayed. He was broken. And the tears flowed freely when he thought about the Saviour. If we think about the Saviour and all that is done for us, and we remain unmoved and our heart just remains untouched, do we not need to be refreshed then? As William Cowper penned those soul-searching words, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word?" The Lord has promised us that the times of refreshing shall come. And my, do we not feel today, "Lord, I need this refreshing in my soul." A declared promise, delightful promise, a definite promise. The time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. For 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." In other words, all the promises in the book are ours. And they'll come to us through Christ. "For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen." And it's as if Paul is saying here that all the promises that are issued to us as his children, they come to us through Christ, and they're promised to us through Christ. The Father adds his amen, his amen of agreement, his amen, and say, bless that sister, bless that church. God adds his amen. That's how definite promises are. 2 Corinthians 7 1. "Having therefore promised, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The last place, and I'll just give you the last point. As well as the preparation for blessing and the promise for blessing, we have the presence and blessing. What did Peter say? The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. From the Lord's presence. For example, when the Lord Caleb Lewis in revival, Duncan Campbell, who was mightily used in that revival, Duncan Campbell testified in the midst of the revival, he says, "The air was saturated with the presence of God. Boy, wouldn't you love to see that and experience that today. The air was saturated with the presence of God. That's what our text speaks about. The times of refreshing. You take those words, the presence of the Lord. Those words may be rendered the face of the Lord. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, yea, the face of the Lord. David prayed in Psalm 67, verse 1, God be merciful and cause thy face to shine. Honest. See, how long will thou forget? For will thou hide thy face from us? So the thought is, the teaching is, that when the Lord turns his face toward us, that means blessing. David had just said there, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? David is going through a lean, barren spell in his life. And then he says, how long will thou hide thy face from me? Because David knew the Lord turned his face toward him. That would mean blessing. Oh, may that never be the experience of us. May the Lord never turn his face from us. We want the Lord to turn his face toward us. When the Lord turns his face toward us, we'll know blessing. We'll know the times of refreshing. Again, as the psalmist has said, Psalm 31, verse 16, make thy face to shine, thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. The words speak about the face of the Lord and the favor of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me that the Lord will cause his face to shine upon this work in 2017. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon us and grant us times of refreshing from his presence. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall, for we are waiting and expecting. O revive the hearts of all. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O our Father and our God, we bless thee for thy wonderful promises. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And O Lord, we thank thee for that word that indicates to us that when a promise is given to us through Christ, our Heavenly Father adds his Amen. Lord, be pleased to add thy Amen to this promise. The times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Cause thy face to shine upon us. And O Lord, may we indeed be conscious of thy presence. May we, Lord, experience something of what Duncan Campbell experienced on the Isle of Lewis. And he said the air was saturated with the presence of God. Lord, we know so little about that. May we know something about it this year. Lord, bless us as we gather around thy table this morning. And for any who are not able to stay, pray, dear Lord, thou will be with them as they leave. Grant them traveling mercy, and may thy blessing rest upon them. May thy blessing be our portion now. In the dear Savior's name we pray. Amen.